Something very special to God happened this past week. A beloved member of our congregation died Wednesday morning. Her name was Helen Hummels. She was 83 years old. Pardon me, 93. Thank you for correcting me. I had written down 93. She'd been a member of this church and congregation for 42 years. Helen's life is a fantastic example, and I'm going to dedicate this time and message today to her. Because many of us have gotten to know Helen, and Leanne and I have known her for 22 years. Some of you sitting here have known her for her entire time in the church, since 1960. I'm going to read from Helen's biography. This has been so valuable to me, what our singles did back in the 80s. When I was here before as pastor, our singles worked together in interviewing all of our seniors and putting together an interview from them personally, many hours spent doing this, and then writing up their biography from information received from them. So this is from Helen to the seniors who the singles who interviewed her, and then they wrote up about her life. Because some of you don't know Helen Hummels. You never had that blessing and opportunity. She was an exceptional lady. I don't think I've ever met anyone with a sweeter, more humble, faithful, dedicated, committed attitude than Helen Hummels. In all my years in the church, in the ministry, and I'll explain why as we go through some of these things about her life. Helen Margaret Hummels was born into a warm and loving family on August the 14th, 1908. She was the fourth child in a family of nine children. And with the stability of life on a 160-acre farm near Peoria, Illinois, Helen enjoyed a happy childhood till age 10. But when Helen was 10 years old, a serious flu epidemic hit her family hard. Everyone in the family became ill except for her. And to help her family during this difficult time, Helen stepped into the role of becoming homemaker. This resulted in her becoming skilled at this early age in the arts of gardening, baking, cooking, and home canning. Helen's father died of this flu due to lung complications. They didn't have everything available today to maybe help someone survive a serious flu epidemic, and her father died when she was age 10. But the family managed to remain united and strong because of her mother. Helen's formal schooling was cut short by severe headaches and thyroid problems. Her headaches were so frequent and incapacitating that her doctor finally arranged for her early release from formal schooling because she could not go to school. And Helen said the most profound influence in her life from there on was provided by her mother, Margaret, who was a remarkable and inspiring person who made all the difference in her life. But her mother died at the age of 58 when Helen was 30 years old. But it was her mother's inspiration that gave Helen the confidence and the resourcefulness to succeed at a variety of jobs in life using the skills that she had learned at home, especially baking and canning and housekeeping. During the World War II years, that brought the opportunity for employment in the defense industry. And Helen and her beloved sister Leona moved to Seattle in 1944, where Helen got a job as a bookkeeper at the Lake Washington shipyards. And she worked for them until the war ended. Other work included starting her own lunchroom because she was good at cooking and loved to serve people. And some of you will remember maybe Helen's Own Lunchroom in Seattle. Later, a pantry position at the Bon Marché, where she worked for 13 years. And then her last job at the Bank of California employee lunchroom, where she was supervisor. In 1947, Helen heard Herbert W. Armstrong on the radio and began seriously studying the Bible. 1947, shortly after the war. And in 1960, she was baptized and attended her first church service with the Church of God. Way back then, the church was called the Radio Church of God because that's how Mr. Armstrong began. Later, the name was changed to the Worldwide Church of God, and then Helen, of course, became a member of the United Church of God. And Helen developed a great love for God's Word. She said in this interview, "As I look back over the years of my life, I see more and more clearly how God has miraculously been guiding and directing my every step." After the demise of Helen's Own Lunchroom, Mrs. Iva Schmacher, who was a church member in this area, many of you will even remember Iva Schmacher. She was alive when we first came here in 1980 and died while we were here back then. Iva Schmacher invited Helen to come and live with her. And a close friendship blossomed between the two, and they shared a unique relationship of love, respect, and appreciation for each other and helped one another in many ways. Mrs. Schmacher, who Helen praised as a brilliant teacher, tutored her in the piano and in English lessons. And Helen filled the role of homemaker and nurse for Mrs. Schmacher until she died. At the time that Helen had come to live with Mrs. Schmacher, she had lost all of her investments when she went into business for herself and had her own lunchroom. She lost all of her investments, including two paid-up life insurance policies. And at the age of 56 years old, she had to start over with no money and with $1,000 in debt to be paid off. But Helen would never give up. She persevered and she trusted God, and God blessed her. Helen eventually became the supervisor of the employee lunchroom at the Bank of California. Of course, that's in this area, where she had the full responsibility for all menu planning, the buying, purchasing of all equipment and supplies, and all record keeping. And when she would leave to go to the Feast of Tabernacles each year, the entire kitchen would be shut down for cleaning, and the whole staff would be given their vacations during the Feast of Tabernacles. They did that for Helen. And for those of you who knew Helen, you know what a kind of a sweet, loving person she was. You can see God gave her grace and favor. That Bank of California in this area, where she was the supervisor of their employee lunchroom, they just shut it down. The kitchen had to be cleaned every year anyway, they said, so we'll do it during your feast. Others can have their vacation time, whether they like it or not. But she had that job until her health began to fail at age 62. And she never really regained her strength and had to retire at age 63. And by then, she had paid off all of her debts and had managed to save a little money. But retirement didn't stop Helen from continuing to learn and to grow. She went on to earn her high school diploma, finally, at age 66 years old. So those headaches and problems she had as a child, where she had to drop out, she came back later and earned her high school diploma. Quite a woman. Helen often wondered why God chose to call her at this time in her life, instead of later, after the millennium. Well, her personal resume for a position of service in God's kingdom would read like the following. perseverance in the face of many and diverse trials, very honest, very stable, very diligent, a tenacious person, also much courage, very dependable, and resourcefulness. All of this marks the life of Helen Hummels, very loyal. The words of her own mother say it all. The words that her mother advised all of her other children to follow. Her mother said to the other children, "Do what Helen says, and you'll never go wrong." Her mother's words serve as an inspiring reference for Helen's character. And she really truly was that kind of a person. Next, I would like to read to you something that I'd say probably her closest personal friend wrote about her, Esther Peterson. So most of you know that after Iva Schmalker died, that Esther has become the one who has visited with Helen regularly, faithfully, keeping an eye on her, taking care of her, making sure her needs are provided as Helen has aged and not able to see and hardly able to even hear. And Esther writes this about Helen. "I met Helen when I started coming to this church in 1974. She needed a ride to the feast in Spokane that year, and so she joined another member and I for the ride. At first, I thought that she looked like such a very serious person, and I didn't know if I would relate to her or not. But it didn't take long to find out that one cannot judge by outward appearance alone. Over the years, we became very close friends, and I admired her ability to trust God for everything. He never failed her. She complained very little over the years about the problems that she endured, and people would call her and tell her of their plight and their problems, and she would always encourage them instead. In the later years, I would go to her apartment on Sundays, and she would always have the coffee made, and we would sit down and enjoy a delightful talk. She wanted to know about the sermonettes." This is when she was not able to come anymore because of frail health. "She always wanted to know about the sermonettes every Sabbath, and did until the day she died, the week she died. The sermonettes and the sermon and all the announcements and all the prayer requests, so that she could be praying about all these things. That information was so very important to her, even though she couldn't come to church every Sabbath. She wanted to know what was going on and to receive all this so that she could feel that she was still a part of our congregation. During those precious moments, she would share stories of her life and her youth, as well as during her working years. We would enjoy lots of laughs and lightheartedness throughout these years of our friendship. And as the years passed and her eyesight failed and she became totally blind and her hearing began to shut down to the end, the best way to talk to her was on the phone because she had a magnifying device that amplified the voices on the phone, but she could not hear well. One of her prayers was that she would be able to finish her days of life in her apartment, and God honored this." I'll let Leanne, I'll read what Leanne wrote in a moment rather than elaborate on that right at this moment. I believe she lived there something like 35 years, and she wanted to die there. "And she enjoyed her visits," says with the Lukers, "and being able to ask questions about the Bible, and she did." I'll make our comments, Leanne, and not mine a little later, but to our very last visit with her, again, she had Bible questions. Can you believe from the book of Revelation? She wanted to be sure she understood all these things right about the coming of Christ and the prophetic events of the end time. She so appreciated the calls that she received from many of the brethren and her own family, Esther writes. "When Helen's beloved sister, Leona, died 2 weeks ago," Helen's sister, who was younger than she was, died 2 weeks ago. Helen, of course, was noticeably moved and saddened because Helen and her beloved sister called each other. One would call the other in the morning and the other would call the other one back in the evening. So twice a day they called each other for who knows how many years and years. And God couldn't have been more loving than to allow Helen to live longer than her sister, because Helen was able to encourage Leona via her telephone calls through her illness and up to her death. And God's timing of Helen's death couldn't have been more perfect. It was as if Helen had fulfilled her role in life and that she was now ready to go. And Esther says, Helen really taught me how to face life as well as death. From her beloved friend, Esther Peterson. Precious life, as we shall see. Just like to read something that Leanne wrote about Helen. Helen was a remarkable woman. Her positive attitude in the face of increasing hardship and difficulty never wavered. As her world became more and more restricted because of her failing health, she continued to think of others and the work of God, not just herself and her own problems. For more than 35 years, Helen lived in a small studio apartment in the University District. About 15 years of that was with another lady. I told you about her, Iva Schmacher. And for the past 5 years, she hardly left the apartment at all, except for appointments with her doctor and all, where Esther would take her for her doctor's appointments. Most of us would have felt imprisoned in that small studio apartment. Like it was basically one room, a little kitchen alcove besides. But Helen did not complain. Instead, she focused on her gratitude to God, being thankful for a place to live. Thankful that she could remain there and live on her own. Thankful for the little things that God gave her each day. She truly appreciated what she had and did not complain. Not once in any of our visits with her did she ever complain about anything. Helen was a giver. Until her eyesight failed, she would write encouraging letters to many people. The 9 years that we were in Southern California pastoring there in Orange County, Helen always wrote to us on a regular basis, giving us news of what was going on among the brethren in the Seattle church area. And until her eyes failed, Helen always had something ready to serve when people came to visit her. She always did that whenever we would come by. Can I have the coffee or the tea ready and something to eat? She was given truly to hospitality. Helen was basically a shy lady. Yes, she was. But she moved out of her comfort zone to meet others. In the 22 years that we've had the privilege of knowing Helen, we never heard her complain or ever criticize anyone about anything. And I have to say amen. I never did hear Helen Hummels ever say one bad word about anybody, about anything. Never. Never happened as far as I know. Nor anything, any complaints about her life. And here's a woman who God never gave her a husband. She never married. But I never once ever heard her complain about that. And as her health declined, she had a lot that she could have complained about. We always came away from our visits with Helen amazed by her attitude and amazed at her awareness of the needs of others and the needs of the church and the work. We will miss her deeply and look forward to seeing her in the kingdom of God. Some of you are aware also that Helen Hummels was a poet. She wrote many beautiful poems, really beautiful, and we put them into a little booklet back in, and she wrote so many of them, and they were so well done, we had a special little booklet published in the 80s of Helen's poems. I'd like to read one of them to you today. She wrote this one July 1st, 1988. It was entitled, This Life. From God's words of truth, I've learned his plan. I know this life is but a span. But in this life, I have a role ere I can reach that higher goal. This life is short, I'm made of dust, and in my Maker I must trust, for he is strong and I am weak. Now through God's words I seek to learn his will, his plan for me. O God, please remove these scales so I can see. Lift this veil from off my eyes. Please give me a glimpse of your paradise, that I may onward press and never fail to reach that life that lies beyond the pale. To withstand the trials and tests of life, to suffer pain, endure the strife. Please prepare me for the tasks you've called me to. Help me to stay forever loyal, ever true, with strength to overcome the evil one, to stand one day before your Son. And Helen just wrote many very beautiful, expressive poems about life and our trials and faith and trust in God, endurance to the end. And the good news that I can give you today, brethren, that another one of God's saints, the next moment of her consciousness, the next moment of her awareness, what is it going to be like for Helen Hummels? This woman who endured her life and her trials, and not only endured, but rejoiced in them, and let her life be a wonderful example to those of us who knew Helen and who know her, a wonderful inspiration. Her life was an encouragement to many of us, a faithful example. I would like to take a look now from God's Word at what God says about Helen Hummel's future, what lies ahead for her in the kingdom of God. And I hope this will be encouraging to all of us as we continue on now in our life to finish our race, to run the race that God has laid before us. I hope that all of us will be able to say, as you know, as Helen did, that I have finished the race that God has given us. Turn with me to Psalm 116, 115. I'd like to read one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Whenever I do a funeral service or a memorial service, as this is today for Helen Hummels, this memorial service will be in lieu of any separate funeral service for her. Psalm 116, verse 15, where God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? That the death of each one of God's saints, and a saint, as we all know, is just one of God's called and chosen people. A saint is a true Christian. And Helen certainly was that. We're going to take a look. Helen is asleep right now, as we'll see. The Bible talks about physical death as just being a deep sleep until the resurrection from the dead. And the saints, those who die in Christ, will live again and be given eternal life. So let's look at, again, the promises of God, the truth of God, encouraging hope that God gives of the future. You know, what is it that gives God's people the strength, the courage? You know, some of us, others of us, are now looking at maybe one of our last final trials. Many of you are still fairly young. You do not think about, at this point in your life, probably too much about, I wonder what it will be like when I become old enough that I lose my vision, then lose my hearing, and then cannot go to church, and have a hard time communicating with others. But many, like Helen and others, have passed through that final trial of their life as well. I haven't faced that one yet. I don't know how long I will live or how many years remain until Christ returns or what my health will be in the remaining years of my life. Do you? But I know with the help of God, brethren, we'll be able to follow the same path as many before us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is called the resurrection chapter. Beautiful, beautiful chapter. And it gives us some incredible knowledge and understanding about what Helen is going to look like and be like when we see her again in the future. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians 15, though, in verse 12. We're going to read here, we're going to get some of the highlights of this chapter, verses 12 through 14, where Paul is writing to some of the saints, God's people in the city of Corinth. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there were some in that congregation who didn't believe, did they, that God can raise people from the dead. That's what some of them were saying, that there is no resurrection from the dead. Paul said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Drop down to verse 18. He said, then also those who have fallen asleep. And that's the way it's worded in the King James Bible, in the New King James. As you know, that death is just talked about in terms of they have fallen asleep. He said then in verse 18, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished if there is no resurrection. Pick it up in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And notice verse 22 and 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order. You know, Paul knew God's plan, didn't he? That there's going to be a resurrection. A first resurrection, and then a later resurrection. The awesome truth that all shall be made alive, each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, the first being to ever be resurrected from the dead. He was God and human at the same time. And he was resurrected from the dead. Christ, the first fruits, and afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. Those who are Christ's at his coming. Anyone who knew Helen certainly had no doubts and no questions that she was one of his and will be there at his coming. She is sealed for the resurrection. She is safe. She is resting. And we'll take a look at a little bit more as we move along here. Pick it up in verse 35. Paul goes on in this incredible chapter, and he's trying to address some of the questions that people back then had. He said, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? When the dead are resurrected, what kind of a body do they have? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be. But you may just put a seed of grain in the earth, is what he's explaining. Maybe it's wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. So he's explaining the physical principles to help us understand what's going to happen to us as God's people when we die and are planted in the ground. And interesting, isn't it, that usually, not always, someone could be cremated, but let's say even the ashes or the remains are like being planted in the ground will be resurrected to life. Let's read on, verse 39 through 44. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, that is of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, and terrestrial bodies, or earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. And, you know, man is discovering all of this about the stars and the universe. And then he adds, in verse 42, so is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. I don't know how many of you have ever seen dead bodies, but I see them all the time. If you've gone to funerals and if you go to see, I mean, I did the funeral for my own mother several years ago. I didn't know if I could make it or not, but they had the casket open and there lay my dead mother. You know, they preserve the body and prepare it for the funeral service. But then that body is buried, isn't it? And it decays and goes back to dust from which it came. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. And, you know, you'd bury him in the ground. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. And as we age and get older and this physical body wears out, you really understand that. But it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And you and I know that and believe that. And so did Helen. And so as we see our physical bodies getting older and for some falling apart and ceasing to work effectively, whether it's the eyes or the ears or other organs of the body, it does truly make you appreciate a lot more than when in my younger years, more in the prime of my life, as I get older, I begin to appreciate much more the promise of this new spiritual body. This body that will never die, never get sick, never get tired, never wear out. A body just like God's, just like Jesus Christ that is awaiting us. Of power and glory. It's hard to conceive and believe it, isn't it, brethren? That when you see Helen again, brethren, you're going to see this bright, shining, beautiful being with her personality and all those characteristics that we read a little bit about, and only God knows her total character and wonderful qualities that that woman built and had. But she will reflect all of that when God gives her life once again. So awesome to realize that even though you may live 90 or 100 years, and Ethel Kopp is still alive, 10 years older, but Ethel is ready to go at any time as well. Every time I visit her virtually, she said, "Why am I still living?" These people, these women, are wonderful examples for us, brethren. And Leanne and I will always, whenever we think of Helen, just think of her wonderful and sweet spirit and attitude. It's just awesome. Let's pick it up in verse 51 as well, chapter 15 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, where Paul begins to conclude the chapter. He says, "Behold, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall all be changed." So Paul, certain points in his life, and you can see it in his writings, truly thought that he and some of the other Christian brethren would be alive at the second return or coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, before he died, in the last book that he wrote, 2 Timothy, you could see that he came to realize that he was going to die and that that was a future event. But other ones, you can see, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, and you could put in there, he's talking about the physical body, this corruptible human physical body must put on incorruption. And this mortal flesh has put on immortality. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know, so Helen's death is a victory, isn't it? It is good that her suffering in the flesh, her weakness of the flesh, her struggles every day to get up and take care of her needs and dress herself and feed herself and sit in that little one studio apartment, not being able to see outside. And she had a beautiful view of the bridge, you know, I-5 over there, the bridge crossing the water. She could see that. She was right there in the campus area. But we'd go there, and one day we went to visit her, and this was when we had that, remember that late spring snowstorm? And the very day we went to visit Helen, it was starting to snow, and it was beautiful over there. Beautiful. And we forgot Helen, and her window was not open, but this you could see outside. And it was just beautiful, looking out our window, and the snow was coming down. And we forgot that she couldn't see. And we were just telling her, oh, she said, is it snowing outside? So we tried to describe it to her, what it looked like, and how beautiful it was to see that snow coming down. But she was not able to enjoy that for many years there at the end. She just couldn't see anything. But death is swallowed up in victory. A beautiful lady, a sweetheart, a deeply converted woman, a woman who loved God, a woman who loved her fellow man, a woman who loved God's word. You just couldn't have asked for more than Helen. You couldn't. So what is her future? Turn with me to the book of Revelation in closing. Let's look at a few verses there. Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 2. We all know and understand, don't we, brethren, that eternal life is a gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Helen has that gift of eternal life. It's there. It's promised. It's waiting for her because she had repented of her sins and she had accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she did as he said. She endured and persevered in her lifetime, never gave up and never quit, no matter what happened to her. She never turned her back on her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So she has that gift of God. Eternal life is assured absolutely for Helen Hummels. She will live forever. But there is more. There is more. Let's read here in Revelation chapter 2, beginning in some of the words of Jesus Christ to the seven churches that he spoke to in Revelation 2 and 3. We're here in Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 26, where Jesus said, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end," and here are then the additional promises and blessings that God gives, brethren. Not only the awesome, unbelievable, unearned, undeserved gift of becoming like God, this new body like his that will live absolutely for all eternity, not only the gift of eternal life, which could never be earned in 100 or 1,000 lifetimes, but also God is going to add responsibilities in his kingdom. Let's look at them. Opportunities. Look at them this way. And I prefer to look at them this way, what he's saying here, that God is going to give his saints, his people, who have been overcomers and have grown and have endured and have battled their flesh and their weaknesses and never given up and have been faithful saints to the very end. And that's what he's talking about. He says, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, To him I will give power over the nations. So you and I understand that, don't we, brethren? The awesome blessings that lie ahead. And imagine how God could use a woman like Helen Hummels with her character and with her attitude and with many of the skills that she had learned as well. When Christ returns and this world, this desperate world, needs to be taught many practical things, Helen will be able to serve in many capacities. I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron. And I think you can see what's going on in the world today, some of the attitudes that some people in some nations have. We don't need to get specific. It's going to take a strong hand when they come up out of their graves, because they've been taught hate and they've been taught killing from a very young age. And it will take a strong and a loving hand, a kind hand, someone like a Helen Hummels, who's a gentle person, and yet she will be like God and have that mind of God, an attitude of God, and a body like God. And she'll do whatever God wants her to or tells her to do. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Here are the angels here. In this case, some of the four living creatures are in the midst of the elders. It's mentioning. And they sing a new song in verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll, you're singing a song to the Lamb, and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That's a truth that not everybody understands in many churches or organizations, that Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth and is going to rule on this earth and bring peace to this earth. And that true saints, God's people, are being called and prepared and trained to rule with Jesus Christ when he returns to help bring peace to this earth and to teach the world. When I watch the news, like many of you do today, and you see the turmoil going on in the world, it makes me more determined and desirous to keep preparing myself to help change the world and make it right. And that opportunity lies ahead of us, doesn't it, brethren? And I think all of us can accept this truth, that every day we are one day closer to the return of Christ and the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. Every day, each week, we're one week closer, whether he comes in our lifetime or whether we die. Every month, we're closer. Every year, we're one year closer to the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God on earth. Brethren, think about it for a moment. Reality is, the truth is, reality, that it is going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. The return of Christ, the first resurrection, the change to immortality, and another saint has made it into the kingdom of God. And what an awesome thing to just meditate and think about. And isn't that what keeps us all going, brethren? Our hope for the future, knowing that this life, it's all worth it. So I wanted to encourage you in this wonderful truth about Helen Hummels. Those of you who remember her, those of you who knew her, another one in our midst has achieved that goal of being in the kingdom of God, joining the family of God, becoming exactly like God. And when Christ comes back to this earth to be resurrected, to become a powerful spirit being like Jesus Christ, her Savior, And with her loving heart and tenderness and kindness and gentleness, and yet the strength and the power that will be there, the love of God. And God's love can be whatever it needs to be. You know, Helen was a strong woman, and she endured much. We're going to see this dear woman, this dear lady again. Now, Leanne and I personally will miss her, and we'll miss our visits to her, because it was always very positive and very encouraging. We always came away from a visit with Helen uplifted and inspired by her example and her life, because she would always, every single visit, she would have her questions that she wanted to talk about, whether it was the Bible or what was going on in the church and in other people's lives. She was a wonderful example for all of us, brethren, so it's an opportunity for each one of us, whether you knew Helen or not. This was an important week to God, because precious in the sight of the Lord and the death of his saints. Helen's spirit is with God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that when we die, our spirit returns to God who gave it. And so what she is and who she was has been totally preserved by God through that spirit that enters us whenever we're conceived as human beings. Whenever we're conceived, that spirit that enters that new life, that new cell, and makes that life unique and special, and records everything about that person's life. And of course, you know, that good news is that when God calls us, and we go through that process of repenting of sin and wrong in our lives, and that comes under the blood of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to know that what was recorded on that tape that might have been some of the bad things in our life, that that's cleaned up, that's not there. All that is wiped away. God says so in many scriptures in the Bible, that our sins are cast away and we're white as snow in his sight because of Christ's sacrifice that we've accepted in our lives. So here's this special, precious woman. I'm just sorry that she was not able to come to church in recent years, so many of you could have met her and gotten to know her if you didn't. A special, precious lady. Let us not forget, brethren, those of us who know her, knew her, loved her, look forward to seeing her again, let us never forget Helen Hummels. Let us remember her very converted, sweet attitude and her example in our midst. And let us follow her example into the kingdom of God.